Good morning. This is Lois W. Stern, and I'm here for as the hostess of Tales to Inspire. And this morning, I'm interviewing one of our winners, Cecil Bell. So I'm going to, good morning, Cecil.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to hear your voice, Cecil. Let's talk a little bit about your tale. Why don't you tell people the title and exactly what motivated you to write this particular story?
Okay, the title is called Don't Worry, Mom, and it was written in regard to raising a juvenile diabetic. So my tale, being only limited to 1,200 words, is a condensed version of a book I'm writing titled The Invisible Disease, and it is in regard to a wonderful testimony of a child taking full responsibility for his health and achieving many, many things.
Yes, and Cecil, when I read your story, well, I think we ought to tell the audience that this is not just any child, this is your child,
mm-hmm.
and a wonderful, wonderful son from what I've read about him, and his pictures, too, are just darling from all stages, from the time he's a little boy until he's a grown man, father, attorney, has achieved a great deal. So raising a son with a disability like this, a physical disability, was a challenge for you as well as he, right?
Yes, yes. There was some emotional, you know, when does mothering become over-mothering? And that tended to be the most difficult challenge for me to let go of trying to control and to protect, which is natural, normal mother instinct.
Of course, every mother goes through that, whether mm-hmm. the child has a particular problem or not. You're always trying to protect them, right?
Right. So in the book, you know, basically, or in the story, I've given him freedom to be responsible and to bear the brunt of not being responsible, if that would be the choice. But he decided, you know, from his own courage and strength that there wasn't anything that he couldn't do, including, you know, major sports, which he continued on through college. And still being an athlete, it's one of the best things that a diabetic could do, is to stay active and, you know, monitor their diets. And, I mean, it's the best healthy diet all Americans, you know, or around the world. It's a wonderful diet. If we would, you know,
I was wondering something.
Keep away from the candy.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your sentence.
No, it's just, it's really important, you know, traditionally of all the diseases that you have, this one is the least limiting because you're basically normal except for your diet and the amount of exercise.
Good point.
You know, it's if you maintain those quality issues, which all of us fall short basically just in our general health concerns, it's something that if someone healthy can read a story about this young boy that, you know, had the, usually it's a depression and discouragement because he becomes outcast, thinking that he can't participate, and there are no limits, you know. So goal
yeah,
setting
yeah.
became critical for him, and it was wonderful. I mean,
I
still
was wondering as I read your story if you thought that Adam maybe was more motivated to prove that he could do everything because of his juvenile diabetes. Do you think he would have taken all those same paths had he not had that affliction?
No, he did quite well at hiding the disease. You know, he didn't want it to be, he decided early on, because he stayed insulin injection dependent rather than going on the pump, that he was going to own the disease and control it. It wasn't going to master him. As the pump is like you become their slave. You know, I mean, you still deal with the pump, but it was just a different perspective
mm-hmm.
of freedom to
no,
control
I meant
it.
By that question, if he hadn't had juvenile diabetes at all, do you think he would have been so driven to accomplish all the things that he did? Do you think that that was part of his motivation to prove to himself that he was just as normal as anybody else and could do everything that any other young boy could do?
That's a good question. I don't really find that he tried to prove himself. He did I mean, basically, that would be a good question to ask him because I hadn't thought about it in that way. He's a very gifted individual. As a child, you know, even as a preschooler, he was advanced intellectually and, you know, just spiritually. He's a great little young man.
And
I think,
I might say rather good looking, too.
Kind of, yeah, I'll claim that.
Right.
But, and I have four beautiful children, but,
yes,
you know, five grandchildren already, but three on the way. He just really has been self-motivated, you know, even without the disability. I don't think it held him back. I think he, because he hasn't, to this day, other than doing a few walks for diabetes, he hasn't really been too active. He did do a little bit of speaking about it, you know, during his growing years, kind of giving testimony of how he managed it. But he's not, he's still kind of almost a little intimidated by me telling everybody about him being diabetic.
I can understand that.
You know, it's like the association
right.
of...
Let's move on, Mom, right?
Sure, yes.
Let's move on, yes. Well, I think you did a wonderful job. As I read the story, I had a great deal of admiration for you as a mother because I know it was a very, very difficult task for you to step back and let him take ownership of his illness and the consequences of the activities that he participated in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Now, let me move on a little bit to Tales to Inspire. By the way, Cecil's tale is up on the website. You can read it. You can meet her. There's a picture of her and a little synopsis of the story. And then if you click on Read This Tale, you can get to read the whole story and meet Adam and see the wonderful pictures. You did a great job. I have to add that Cecil was one of the winners of the Tales to Inspire Authors Helping Authors project for this year, the first year out, and I was very, very proud of that. Tell me a little bit about your entering the tale. How did you get into it to begin with, and what did you like best about it? Were there any things you didn't like about it? You can talk to me about any of those topics.
Well, Lois, I should thank you. We had met at a writers group meeting in Sarasota where we generally critique and inspire other writers, and you were looking for short stories that, you know, could be added to your contest, and my book summary basically fell into that title. Although I was very long-winded in my regular book, I tried to do the condensation, and we honed it down. And it's amazing that I got so much in, even though I had moments that I felt, oh, I left out the important parts, but but they're all still there. And it really motivated me to understand that, you know, I believe it's a good story that can help others. You know, it's like a like a community service project. It's because there are so many children, you know, type 1 or type 2 diabetics that could, they do self-limit because they think they have to. And this kind of proves the general terms of diabetes wrong.
Yes, and I'm sure it will be most motivational. It's interesting that you talk about writing a book and then writing a short story that is almost like a condensation of the book. There's another contestant that I'll be talking to, also a winner, by the way, who has a book coming out in August. And she took parts of that and wrote a short story. Inspiring tale, and she said to her, the best part of this was that she learned how to write very, very succinctly. She never thought she could tell that story in so few words, but so it is a good exercise in that, is it not?
Oh, absolutely, because now I'm really, as I continue to approach my story, it's like, well, you know, I could really get this project completed a lot sooner, because you may or may not know, but I have so many tales to tell. And I just loved it. When you started with the tales, you know, I was thinking of Canterbury Tales or Fairy Tales. And I have other short story book collections that I've, you know, always appreciated. And it was like, this is a good project. This is something that people don't have time to read a 500-page story.
Mm-hmm.
But a short story that has basically the same, you know, foundation of input or impact on a person's psyche is really important. And I just like that the word inspiration is the basis for it.
And yeah. Let's face it, today with the kinds of lives we lead, we're looking for all the shortcuts to do things quickly, right?
That and the fact that this is all a good news project. It's
yes.
not a, let me tell you my story of woe. You know, it's
That's
a it's
right.
survival
That's right.
and a
mm-hmm.
really wonderful
Right.
project.
Well, you said you have other stories in your head there. So maybe I'll even see you again next year in the, when Tales to Inspire starts again.
Yep, you'll have to start the gardening series. I know how much you love gardening. I've got
yes,
some
yeah,
fantastic
right.
garden stories.
Yeah. Well, so Cecil, in closing, what would you say to other authors who are thinking about entering this project and entering the competition that goes with it?
If you want to feel good, doing good, sharing your story, you know, and then watch it bloom, because it's like the way you organized and disciplined the whole structure, you know, for voting and for being a writer myself, I just learned so much how to expedite, you know, and to process.
Yes.
So it's like a college degree in a short lesson.
That's a wonderful way to sum it up.
Mm-hmm.
Cecil, it's been wonderful talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. And I'll be looking forward to more from you next year.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank
bye
you
now.
For the opportunity, Lois.
Oh,
thank
you're most
you.
Welcome. Bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye.